Once upon a time, there was a farmer, and she was on her way to market. And she had a cartload of vegetables there to sell. And it was winter time, you see. Winter time, and so all that she had was potatoes, and parsnips, and turnips, and all those kind of rooty vegetables that grow in the ground at winter time. But as she was making her way down the road, as she was bumping her way along the track that led all the way to the marketplace, why, she sees there on the road a girl, a little girl who looks just like a waif, so thin and sallow-faced and her hair all lank and matted together. She looks very, very desperate. And the girl comes running up to her, and she looks at her cart, and she looks at the woman, and she says, "Oh, please, please, do you think you could help us?" "Oh, what can I do for you?" says the farmer. "My family's so hungry. You see, our harvest has failed and all our crops are dead and we haven't got hardly anything to eat. And you've got so much. I wonder, could you help us? Could you just give me something?" And the farmer, she looks at this girl and she looks at what she has and she looks back at the girl and she narrows her eyes. She's not sure whether she should trust her or not. Is this just a story, perhaps, to get things from people? She says, "Well, look, I'll give you one of everything I've got. How about that?" "Oh," said the girl, "that would be very kind." The farmer wasn't expecting that. And she gets a bag and she fills it full of one of everything. But she has quite a few different things. So it's parsnips and swedes and carrots and potatoes and leeks and all kinds of things that grow in winter time. And she fills a bag up with all of those things and she hands it to the girl. She says, "There," the girl's already wide-mouthed. She says, "You are the kindest person I ever met. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much." The old farmer didn't quite know what to say. She didn't feel she'd been very kind. She'd been a little bit cautious and guarded. And so she whipped the horse's reins and she had the cart trundle away, and even as she rumbled on her way, she could hear the girl behind her walking back through the fields to wherever it was she lived, saying, "Thank you! Thank you! You're so kind!" "Was I kind?" thought the old woman as she trundled away to market. "Was I kind?" as she set up her stall in the marketplace. "Was I kind?" It was that thought that was on her mind all day long. As she sold her vegetables, was I really kind? Couldn't I have given her more? Looks like she was telling the truth. Her family really were starving. What are they going to manage with just one little bag of vegetables? I should have given them more, she thought. All day, this troubled her. Indeed, all week, it was on her mind. Until when the next week's market day rolls around, why, she's made up her mind. She brings with her a big sack. A big sack. And she looks out for the little girl by the side of the road as she rumbles on her way off towards the marketplace. And sure enough, there's the little one, and she's sitting by the side of the road now, or kneeling, rather, and praying. Yes, praying she is by the side of the road. And as she hears the farmer's cart rumbling towards her, why, she jumps to her feet and she runs to her, and she says, "Oh, you've come, you've come. I was praying that you'd come. You were so kind to us last week." "Was I?" says the farmer. "I'm not sure that I was. I think I could have helped you a lot more. And you see, I brought this sack with me this time." "What's that for?" said the girl. "Well, this week, I'm going to give you a whole sackful." "Really?" said the little girl, her eyes growing big like saucers.
Really? Would you do that for us?
Yes, I would, said the farmer, and she was filling it up already, with all the potatoes and the parsnips and the carrots and the turnips and the leeks and all the winter things that she had, filling it up right to the brim, till it was so big and heavy that the little girl could hardly carry it and had to drag it across the ground behind her.
You are so kind! You are so kind! Thank you! Thank you!
She shouted as she dragged the sack and as our friend the farmer rumbled on her way. Was I kind, she thought? Was I really kind? If that family's really starving, those vegetables won't last very long. Couldn't I have given them more? When she gets to the marketplace, it's still on her mind as she sets up her stall. But it gets worse, because you see, there's many farms round that way that have failed. Many people in the marketplace chasing fewer and fewer vegetables. So she manages to sell what she has for a higher price that day. But still she's bothered. I don't need all this. I could have given her more. That poor starving family, I should have given them more. Well, it bothered her all the way home, and it bothered her all that evening, and it was on her mind all week, until when the next week's market day rolls around, she's resolved and decided what she's going to do. Yes, again she brings with her a big sack, and this time, when she sees the girl by the side of the road, praying as ever. As she arrives, the girl jumps to her feet and runs towards her.
Oh, you've come again. I was hoping you would. You were so kind to us last week. I was hoping you'd help us again.
Was I kind? Said the old woman. I don't think so. You see, this week I've brought another sack.
Oh, yes, yes, another sack, said the girl. Oh, you are so generous.
No, but this week the sack's for me.
What do you mean, said the girl?
I'm going to take the vegetables that will fill the sack, and you and your family can have all the rest.
What? Said the girl. No, but then I won't be able to carry them all.
Don't worry, said the old woman. We'll go together. And so the little girl walked, and the old woman drove her cart across the bumpy fields and down narrow lanes, the like of which she'd never seen before. Soon they were in places that the farmer had never been to before. It all looked rather unfamiliar, like they were in a part of her own land that she'd never seen. The landscape suddenly opened out, and there was the most beautiful valley you ever did see. Beautiful with snow-capped mountains in the distance and a great big oak tree right there at the bottom of the valley. And not far off, there was the prettiest little farmhouse with fields all around. But the farmer could see even as she approached that their harvest had truly failed. And as they approached the farmhouse, the girl called out to her mother and father, and everybody came rushing up to meet them. Mother, father, brothers and sisters. And the mother and father, when they learned of what the farmer wanted to do this time, they were quite amazed. And they started smiling at one another in a knowing way and winking.
Thank you, said the father. You were so kind to us. And now you mean to give us all of this? Your generosity is amazing, he said, and he winked once more at his wife.
Yes, she said. In fact, we've got something we'd like to give you.
Oh, no, you needn't bother, said the farmer. I know you don't have anything yourselves.
Oh, but we do, and it's specially for you.
and she led her around the back of the house, where there was a little scrubby patch of ground where nothing much was growing except for a few weeds here and there. "We'd like to give you," said the mother, "all these." The farmer looked down at the scruffy little weeds. She said, "Oh, it's okay, you needn't bother." The father said, "Don't judge things by their appearances. Pull one up and you'll see why we want to give them to you." And so she did. She went to one of those scruffy little plants and she pulled at it and shook off the earth. But when she raised it up and saw what was hanging beneath, the most beautiful necklace. A golden necklace, just hanging there under the plant. "These started growing the first time you helped us," said the father. "We'd like you to have them. Go on, pull up some more." And so the farmer went and pulled up some more, but they all had lovely things. Golden earrings, just dangling beneath the leaves. Rings in strings, just dangling there. "But it's too precious," said the farmer. "I couldn't take any of this." "But you must, dearie," said the mother. "You must. They grew for you and no other." Well, she could see there was no arguing with these people, so she took everything they gave her, all the necklaces and the rings and the earrings, and she put them in her own little bag, trying to keep them safe as possible, and she rumbled away with her cart with just the one sack of vegetables. Well, when she gets to market and she sets up her stall, her vegetables are gone in a trice. And so she gets a little broom and a brush and she sweeps away at the table and gets all that dirt from all the vegetables away. And then she tries to make it as nice as she can. And she has a scarf in her bag, which she lays down upon the wood. And then, as daintily as she can, for she's not used to this sort of thing, she lays down all the lovely things that she has. All the necklaces and the rings and the earrings, and she tries to make them look as nice and inviting as she can. But her customers, well, they can't afford this kind of thing. The normal people that come shopping at her stall, well, they just look and they're amazed and they walk away, of course. But nothing travels faster than rumours in a marketplace. And before long, why, everybody's talking about it. Everybody, including the fine ladies of the town. And when they hear about the strange little vegetable selling stall that suddenly has a load of jewellery on it, why, they're crowding around and wanting to have some. And the first woman, she says, "How much for those earrings?" And our friend the farmer realises at that point that she hasn't thought about price. She said, well, go on," said the fine lady. "How much?" And then she thinks of a number and she means to say it, but the price won't come out of her mouth. It just won't. It's like her tongue won't say it. She can't say it. Perhaps that was too high, she thinks, and she thinks of something a bit lower, but that won't come out of her mouth either. In the end, all she can say is words which seem to speak themselves. "You can have it for free," she says. "You can have it for free, but you must promise to be the best person you can be." Well, the fine lady thinks that's a rather strange price, but she can see that there's no money to be paid here. And when she sees that the farmer really means what she says, all right then, I will. And she goes away quite happily with the earrings. Well, the next woman, she wants one of those lovely golden rings, but it's just the same thing. When she's asked how much it costs, the farmer can't name a price. Nothing. The only words that will come out of her mouth. The only words. And she says them while looking the fine lady directly in the eye. She says, "You can have this for free, but you can only take it from me if you'll promise that you'll be the finest and the best person you can be. Do you promise?" And the fine lady could see that this woman really meant this rather strange request, and she was only too happy to comply. She promised that she'd be the best person she could be, and she took the fine golden ring away with her for no money at all. Well, everything went like this. Everything went like this, and all the fine ladies promised until they'd all gone away. And there was just one necklace left. Indeed, the finest, indisputably finest piece of them all. Solid gold, marvellous. Why hadn't they taken that one? Why hadn't that piece gone first, she wondered. And then she looked up and she saw coming towards the stall. Oh, that's why. For there, stalking towards her, marching across the marketplace, there was the lady of the manor, who had the rule of the whole place. And she comes to her stall, and she says, "What's going on here?" And she looks down at that necklace. "Oh my," she said. She can see right away that it's finer than anything that she owns. "How much for that?" she says. And the farmer says, as she said to all the women so far, "You can have it for nothing, for no money at all. Only you must promise that whenever you wear it, you'll be the best person you can be." Well, the fine lady didn't like the idea of this. She wasn't in the habit of promising things to anybody. And the finest person she could be, well, she was already the best person she could be. What nonsense was this? But that necklace, oh, she did want it. So instead of promising, she crosses her fingers behind her back. And instead of saying yes, she says, instead. So in her mind, no promise has been made. So off she goes with the necklace, and our friend the farmer then packs up her little cloth, and she went back home, and she was full of marvel and wonder at what had happened. When the next week's market day rolled around, why, she wanted so much to tell the little girl, and she's rumbling away on her way to market with a full cartload of vegetables, why, she's expecting the girl. The little girl by the side of the road. And she can't wait to see her, to tell her all about what had happened the week before. The fine ladies. And the strange way she couldn't name a price. She wants to tell her everything. But this week, the little girl isn't there. So the farmer rides all the way to market, and she sets up her stall as before. Well, there she is buying and selling her vegetables when all of a sudden one of the fine ladies approaches her. And it was the fine lady that had bought the first pair of earrings. And she is full of wonder and amazement as she comes up to our friend and says, "Those earrings Those earrings you gave me last week, they're magic.
Oh, really? Said the farmer. Well, what do you mean?
No sooner did I have them on than all kinds of magic ensued. I remembered your promise that you made me make, that I would be the best person I could be whenever I wore them.
Yes, said the farmer.
Well, you see, I wore them for my husband and I's special dinner.
We have one special dinner every week, and we always have lovely food and we wear nice clothes, but the truth is, we're rather bored of each other, and we've lost touch with our love for one another, and we don't really have anything else to say.
So, what happened? Said the farmer.
Well, that was what was so magic. As soon as I remembered that promise to be the best person I could be, all kinds of strange things started coming out of my mouth. You see, my husband's a good man. He's always been kind to me, and he does so many little things for me that I just take for granted.
And sitting there with him at our dinner table, it all started coming out of my mouth.
What? Said the farmer.
My appreciation for everything he does for me. As soon as I started naming one thing, why, another thing would come to mind, and another,
until I was lavishing so much praise on my husband that he was filling up like a balloon with happiness. He looked happier and happier and happier. And then he started speaking and telling me all the things about me that he loves, that he just thinks are, well, you know, that we both know about, but he's never spoken of. Oh, by the end of our dinner, we were in each other's arms like newlyweds.
Those earrings are pure magic.
And off she danced into the crowd, leaving our friend the farmer to wonder that the lady herself had created that little piece of magic.
Well, she was rather amazed and happily went back to selling her vegetables, when after a time she became aware of somebody watching her. A distinct feeling like someone behind her was watching. And then, turning around, she saw that hiding amongst the shadows of the arches behind the marketplace, there was another of the fine ladies.
Hello, said the farmer. Is there something you want to say to me?
Yes, said the fine lady,
looking around to be sure no one was seeing her.
That ring you gave me last week, it's pure magic.
It is? Said the farmer.
Yes. No sooner did I put it on
and remember my promise to you to be the best person I could be than immediately I started to think of my aunt and uncle. You see, my parents died when I was very young, and my aunt and uncle raised me. But they already had plenty of children, and there wasn't enough love for me, and the house was already very full, and I had a difficult childhood. I struggled and screamed and fought for love, but nobody really had enough of it for me. And when I was finished in that place and grown up enough that I could leave, I went away and never looked back. I haven't spoken to either of them since I left. But no sooner did I put on your ring than immediately my dear uncle and aunt, they came to mind. You see, they were good people. They were just overwhelmed and they didn't know what to do with me. I was too wild for them. So thereupon, I went straight back and I stood at her door and I rang the bell. And as soon as she opened it, she could see the look on my face and the two of us fell into each other's arms. She could see immediately why I'd come, and we spent the whole day talking together, talking about all the hard times, the words that had been said that hadn't been meant, the hurt that had been caused, and the ways that things had gone wrong. And then we talked about all the good things, all the things that had been fine and lovely, but that no one had ever spoken about. When my uncle came in later, why, he joined us, and the loveliest time was had by all. I swear, this ring is pure magic. And off she danced. Leaving our friend, the farmer, to wonder that perhaps the lady herself had created that piece of magic. Well, so the day went. So the day went, with one fine lady after another coming and telling her of all the marvels that her jewellery had created for them. All, that is, except for one. For now came the fine lady of the manor, who had the rule over the whole place, the same one who'd crossed her fingers instead of promising, and said instead of yes. And she came to the stall and said, "That necklace didn't work."
"Didn't work?" said the farmer. "What do you mean?"
"It didn't work. It just didn't. I've heard all the stories of all my friends, of all the lovely, miraculous things that happened to them. Well, nothing happened to me. Nothing."
Why, then the farmer asked her, and it wasn't long before she got the story out of her about crossing her fingers instead of promising and saying instead of yes.
"Oh, well then," said the farmer, "it doesn't work if you don't promise. That's where the magic is."
Well, when she understood this, then the fine lady, she did promise without crossing her fingers, and she said yes instead of
Well,
after that day, our friend the farmer, she was so full of wonder at what had happened. She was so amazed that this day she decided that she really had to go and see the little girl and her mother and father. She had to tell them what she'd seen. She had to tell them of all the marvels. But when she took her cart along the bumpy fields, down the strange narrow tracks and out into that valley that she'd never seen before, why, the most amazing thing was there. For there indeed were the mountains in the distance. There indeed was the huge oak tree at the base of the valley. But the farmhouse and the fields and everything around there was gone. Not a trace could be seen of the farmhouse where the little girl had lived with her family.
"How strange," said the farmer, having walked back and forth for many times.
"I'm sure it was right here," she said. And just then her foot kicks against a little plant, and she looks down, and what does she see there but one of the scruffy little plants that she'd pulled up before, the last one indeed. Maybe they'd missed it, or maybe it had just grown up in the meantime. She pulled upon it, and there, hanging beneath it, there was a ring. A little ring, golden and lovely. And she took it, and she put it in her pocket, and she looked around one last time, and she went off to market. But approaching the town, she could already see that something rather amazing had happened. There were flags fluttering from every flagpole. There were streamers going across from one house to another, so the whole town looked like it was celebrating. People that before had looked hungry and sad were now looking well-fed and happy. What happened here? She thought to herself, setting up her little stall in the marketplace, which had been scrubbed cleaner than she'd ever seen it before. What happened here? Well, she soon found out when the lady of the manor came dancing up to her stall.
That necklace, it's magic, she said.
And then she told her of all the marvels that she'd been able to accomplish. She told her about the promise she'd made, and when she put the necklace on and remembered her promise to be the best person she could be, it immediately came to her all the things that she could do to help people. You see, being the lady of the manor, she had a great deal of power to help folk, and she immediately set about doing all she could. And once she'd done a little bit and realized how good it made her feel, why, she did a bit more, and then more, and then more. And then she saw what kind of life she'd been leading and what kind of life she wanted to lead now.
That necklace, she said, it's pure magic.
And off she went, dancing into the crowd, leaving our friend the farmer to wonder that perhaps she'd made that little piece of magic herself. Well, she was so full of wonder at everything she'd seen that as she packed away her stall, taking the last of her vegetables, putting them on the cart, and scrubbing everything down, she wondered about the ring in her pocket. Oh yes, I still have that one ring. Shouldn't that be for someone? And it was just then that I came along. Yes, I'd heard about that town. I thought I'd take a look for myself, about the strange changes that had come over it, about the lady of the manor who'd been cruel and then suddenly kind. I thought, there's a story. I need to find out. But no one had told me what had happened. I just couldn't find out. I was frustrated by the end of the day and just leaning up against that stall, looking around the marketplace, thinking, well, maybe there's some mysteries I'm supposed never to find out about. And the farmer, she sees me leaning there and she says, "Oi, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I was just feeling a little bit tired. You see, it's been a very long day." And then I told her everything about me being a storyteller and always looking for stories and coming to this place and trying to find out what was so special about it that I'd heard so much about, but that I hadn't found a single thing, and I was going away now without the story that I wanted. She smiled and she pulled from her pocket that golden ring. She said, "Right then, storyteller, this one's for you." And she gave it to me. I said, "That's a fine piece. How much would you want for that?" She said, "No price. Just promise me, whenever you wear it, you must tell my story." And so I did. I did promise. Although I did say she needed to tell me her story first, which thereupon she did. And what a story! What a story it was! about the vegetables and the little girl? All about the farmer and the father and the mother? All about the strange jewellery and the fine ladies and the lady of the manor? All of that. She told me the whole thing. She told me the whole thing. And I stood there with my mouth open. And I took it all in. And when she'd finished, I wandered off in a daze. Until I found you. And you wanted a story from me. So I told this one to you. I told you the whole thing. I did. Until we came to the end. Just me and you. And the final words were spoken. Until there was really nothing left to say. Until my story was done.